God is ready to do a new thing. And even while you were lost in the wilderness, it says here in Isaiah that God was occupied in building a road through the wilderness. And we can walk that road with Him. It says, even when you thought you were ready to die of thirst, perish, and fade away, God was making rivers in the desert, which would be for our sustenance. And we can find those rivers.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Mark read for you this morning from the passage in Isaiah 43rd chapter, which began with these words, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past." By the way, good morning again, and I always forget to do this. To those who are out in the parking lot, good morning. To those who are watching on live stream, good morning to you as well. God bless you all. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. As I sat down to study this chapter this week, the first thought that came to my mind was that I wish this had been on the memory verse list about 1972 when it came time to explain to my parents my final grade in U.S. history. Because it says right here, forget all that stuff. Don't think about all that stuff in the past. And I'm not sure it would have worked, but it was a thought that occurred to me. Forget things past. For some of us, that is increasingly no problem. Right? I know I got up out of the chair and came into this room for something. What was it? I know somebody asked me earlier in the week something I should do this weekend. I know if I could only remember the when and the where, I might remember the who and the what, but it's increasingly forgetting the past is easy. And yet for all of us, sometimes forgetting the past is hard. A really big problem. As I said to the kids, there may be those people who angered you or injured you or treated you unfairly, and it raised up feelings that it's hard to look at that person without remembering. But we should forget them. And maybe it wasn't something like that. Maybe it was a failure. Something you tried and it just flopped. It may have been a career failure. It may have been a moral failure. And it's really hard to forget that moment when you're laying on your face, knocked flat, and feeling foolish and weak. Those things are hard to forget. In the specific context of what Isaiah is talking about, first let me note that it is a prophecy. He's looking ahead through a little over a century of time, speaking to a generation not yet born when he issued these words, but who will go through the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity. And he's telling them, prophecy is always hard to wrap your head around because it's like this. I'm telling you now in the present that there will come a point in the future when you should forget the past, which is still future, but by then will be the past. It gets a little hard. But in that context, I want to make sure you understand this. Isaiah does not mean at all to forget everything about the past. One of the whole reasons that the Bible is written, that is committed to ink and paper, is so that we will not forget important things that have come before. How many of you agree with me that it is important to remember that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Amen? And that makes him the Lord of both. Amen? The Israelites were told time and time again, don't forget that moment at the Red Sea when God parted the waters and you escaped the pursuing Egyptian army. Don't forget that moment. A dozen, two dozen times. They were told to keep that incident in their memory. And in the second generation after Joshua, the big failings began because people forgot what God had done for their grandfather's generation. Not just the parting of the Red Sea, but the parting of the Jordan River and the many other miracles and acts of provision that had been worked were all forgotten. So we're not supposed to forget everything. What then are we supposed to forget? Well, in this context, looking ahead to those who would go through the Babylonian captivity, they are to forget the crushing defeat they suffered. They are to forget the utter helplessness that they felt before the invading Babylonian horde, when the walls were breached and the temple was leveled and they were carried away to captivity and there was blood everywhere and they knew that the property they left behind would be given to other people and they would be thrown into chains and bondage and bitter servitude. That was all God's wrath. And it was deserved. But it is over. And God is about to do a new thing. And now the lessons that you felt in that crushing defeat have accomplished their purpose. And it is time to move on. But you know, there are things that are easier to forget than the defeat itself. It becomes very easy to remember the agony of the defeat without remembering that it was the wrath of God that brought it about in the first place. It is very easy to remember the helplessness that you experienced and to forget the promise that God made when the judgment began that he would walk through the fire with you, if you go back to verse 5 or so of this chapter. It is easy to remember the overwhelming strength of your enemies that laid you low and forget the promise God made that at the end of the prescribed period you would be set free again. It is so much easier to remember being crushed than to remember the promise that you will be made whole. I, in this respect, as it occurs to me, I cannot really speak for the women of the congregation, but how many of you men remember, as I remember, in your young teen years, the threats that were sometimes made as men, young men, bandied about, ready to fight? I'm going to beat you till your mama won't know you, right? I'm going to pound on the top of your head till you need to cut eye holes in your socks, and so forth and so on. When you take a really bad beating, how do you remember that and still move forward. See, it was easy for the Israelites to remember the thunder of horses' hooves and the rumbling of chariot wheels. If you read verse 17, the verse just before where Mark began to read, it was easy for them to remember the relentless advance of troops, mighty men with weapons. It was easy for them to remember these things. But if you read verse 17, it says, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man? Well, the answer is God. They were simply tools in his hand. Who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man? They will all lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched, extinguished, or some of your versions may read snuffed like a wick. You see, the problem that the Israelites were having when they came to the time to understand this prophecy is that they remembered all too well the beating they had taken. They remembered the chariots, the horses, the armies. But they had forgotten some other important truths. They were still surrounded by the same pagans. They were still living under enforcement by the same armies. All the implements and elements of their defeat still surrounded them on all sides. But the 70th year approached, and God had promised 70 years, and I will deliver you from captivity. His wrath is but for a moment. His loving kindness extends forever. But it's easier to remember the wrath than to trust in the promise of deliverance. So there are some other things you have to remember. There are chariots and horses. And sometimes we light candles like we did on Christmas Eve as a symbol of hope. I light them today as symbols of the fire of God's judgment. So there are chariots and horses, and there is God. He snuffs them like a wick. There are armies, marching troops, mighty men, and then there is God. And the flames of judgment are extinguished. Now, I will concede that probably most of you have not encountered a lot of chariots this last year. And maybe armed troops have not marched toward your door, though that seems like a more realistic possibility to me all the time. But I don't think it happened to any of us in 2020. But there were other things. There, of course, was conspicuously the pandemic with all its economic and emotional and physical damage. All the fear, all the panic, all the distress, all the loss. I do not deny that it made 2020 tough. But there is this pandemic, and there is God. And maybe it wasn't even all the pandemic. Maybe things happened to you that would have happened had the pandemic never been realized. Maybe there were personal troubles and financial troubles and family troubles and unforeseen difficulties. Maybe there were career failures. Maybe there were personal moral failures. Maybe you were overwhelmed by temptation. Maybe circumstances left you feeling all alone. Well, there are those circumstances. And there is God. Maybe at long last, you came to a realization, a cognizance of the fact that you are a sinner, lost in your transgressions, that you're a hopeless victim in the midst of the raging moral wilderness of this earth. As you have contributed to the problem, you deserve the chaos and the despair. And it's all true enough. But there is the consequences of sin. And there is God. And our adversities are snuffed like so many candles. And though we have suffered, God is ready to do a new thing. And we can be part of it. Maybe we have walked through the fire and the flood, but I guarantee you, if you have called on the name of the Lord, He walked through it with you and held you up. And He will be ready for the old things past. His wrath is for but a moment. His loving kindness is forever. It may not be a year-to-year thing that we can always mark on the calendar, 2020 and 2021. Sometimes it's a 70-year thing, as it was with the Israelites. But the time of the old and injurious ends and can be forgotten, because God is ready to do a new thing. And even while you were lost in the wilderness, it says here in Isaiah that God was occupied in building a road through the wilderness. And we can walk that road with Him. It says even when you thought you were ready to die of thirst, perish, and fade away, God was making rivers in the desert, which would be for our sustenance. And we can find those rivers. This is the thought of Isaiah. And it is carried over into the New Testament in the thought of Paul. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. That is the purposes of God for my life. I haven't got it all yet. But one thing I do, forgetting that which lies behind and reaching forward to that which lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you never caught it before, in Jesus Christ, God did a new thing. And the crushing load that you bore can be discarded and forgotten. And you can walk the road that He is building, and it will lead you out of the wilderness and into His glorious kingdom. In this regard, to this extent, forget what is past. And don't waste your time pondering over the old. with which he has finished. Walk with him into the new which he spreads before you. The upward call of God in Jesus Christ. If you haven't been walking that road, it might be a great time to set your feet on it.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.